Good morning, everyone. Let's just turn to him in a word of prayer before we begin. Lord, we do thank you for this day that you've created. Father, every day is beautiful when your mercies are new and your word promises that your mercies are new every morning. We're grateful for that. Father, we are grateful for a day like this where we can gather and worship you. And though perhaps we don't like the dusting of snow outside, but it reminds us of the verse that though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And it's because of Jesus and what he did for us. And Father, we pray this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus and what he did. And as we would open your word, we pray that we would be challenged to love Jesus more and more. That we would be challenged to love one another more and more. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. I hope you have a bulletin and perhaps have the handout that's in the bulletin. And I hope you take notes, but even more than that, I hope you consider this morning that there's a mirror in front of you. This is one of those sermons where it's so easy to say, "Phew, that is a good point for the person sitting beside me," or "that's a good person for he or she." And even as I prepared, it's difficult to look in that mirror and say, "Boy, I need some work in this area." So that's my challenge to each of you and to myself this morning. There's a mirror in front of you, and this is for each of us, individually, personally, and me. As you can see, we're going to talk about, if you have the handout, if not, we're going to talk about the love chapter. It's referred to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You want to go there now, it's fine. It's on page 155 in the pew, in your pew Bible, in the New Testament. What actually drew me to... Is it fading in and out? Just me. What actually drew me to this topic is the golden text. And in this morning's adult Bible class, really good discussions. We didn't even get to the golden text, which is okay. Let me read it to you. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, each week we've been highlighting a name of God in the bulletin. I hope you've enjoyed that. It comes from a book that I purchased called The 52 Names of God by Ann Spangler. And it's not comprehensive. There are more than 52 names. And I looked at the beginning. I'm not sure how she chose the 52 names, if it's the most popular or just... Anyhow, there are more than 52 names. If someone can tell me how many there are, I'm not sure. I think there's well over 100. But I was quite surprised when I looked through the names that were in her book, which I enjoy very thoroughly, that there was one name that was not there. It comes from 1 John 4:8. It says, "God is love." It's a name of God. It's his characteristics. It's his attributes of our God, of our Heavenly Father. It's a name of God. God is love. And when I say that, I'm sure things come to your mind about love. You know, in the English language, the word love, you know, we can say, "I love my bike, I love ice cream, I love chocolate cake, you know, I love the weather, I love your outfit, I love my children." It's a very broad statement, the word love. In the Greek, which is where our New Testament comes from, Greek has very specific words for love, and most of you know that. God is love. You know, we can say we love our children and we love apple pie, and I think you know that that's different. I hope it's different. It's a different type of love. The love that in the New Testament referring to God is love, the love is agape love. It's a specific love. And if you notice on your handout, I've got before love. I was going to do before every word love. The word we're talking about this morning is agape love. It's a specific love. For God is love. God is agape love. It's the highest form of love that there is. The highest form. If I go back to the golden text and reread this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, who agape'd me, is the word there, agape. He loved me, and the definition follows, and gave himself for me. Agape is a sacrificial love. It's not a warm and fuzzy feeling. It's a sacrificial love. That's agape love. It's sacrificial. By the very definition, that's God's love. So when you think about it, biblical love or God's love, agape love, doesn't always feel good. Think about that. It's sacrificial and it costs something. Agape love. Think about the verses where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul. Agape the Lord takes on perhaps a new meaning. It's loving God. How about loving the brethren? That's agape love with a sacrificial love. How about your neighbors? It's the same thing, agape love. It's a sacrificial, it's a giving. Or how about this one? Agape love your enemies. That's just not like love your enemies like I love my bike or I love my cat. It's agape love when we are told to love our enemies. Does that not take on a new meaning when we think about serving, maybe picking up a gun or serving in the military in that capacity? We're supposed to love our enemies with agape love, with a God-defined love. And that's the love in 1 Corinthians. It's agape love. It's sacrificial love. So let's not, even though the English language is limited and we have love in such a broad category, when you're reading God's Word, perhaps in the New Testament, you come across the word love, it's specific. And in many instances, it's agape. Greek literature didn't use the word agape very much because it just wasn't in the Greek, in that day and age, it wasn't used very often because sacrificial love was not something you did, but that's the definition of Christian love. It's sacrificial. So God is love. That's His name. That's His character. That's the why God does things. Because He loves us. Someone once said that if you were to boil down the Bible to one word, one verb, it would be love. It would be agape love. His sacrifice for us. So I'd like us to consider in this day the why, our why we do things. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talking about love. And before I read it, there's just two important things to point out. One is the context of this chapter. Obviously, it follows 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sure you've been to weddings and you've seen it perhaps in people's houses and it's on plaques and the love, you know, peace, love is patient, love is kind, and it's a warm, fuzzy thing, and you've seen it a lot, and that's good out of context. But the context or the content of this in the context of 1 Corinthians 12 is in the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about our gifts in the church. You remember it talks about it, the analogy is the body. And it says, those of us who are believers, we're a part of this body. You know, if you're a hand, don't try to be a foot. If you're a foot, don't try to be a hand. be the best you can as a hand, but don't be try to be a foot. And then it also talks about how those who think, oh, I want to get to this position because it's lofty and so forth, and then in 1 Corinthians 12 says that's not the case. Matter of fact, those who aren't so prominent that we think of are actually the more important jobs in the church. Those that are behind the scenes are perhaps even more important than those that are perhaps in my position up here. So that's the context of 1 Corinthians 12 is in the gifts. And you'll see it in the transitionary verse of the end of chapter 12. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. The more excellent way is to be excellent with your gifts and how we serve and how we love. And that's how the chapter starts out. So it's transitional. And the content of 1 Corinthians 13, keep in mind, it's in the context of 1 Corinthians 12 and actually 1 Corinthians 14. It's in there for a reason. The second thing is, obviously, if you've got a Pew Bible or King James like I do and you read through this, it uses the word charity. And if you have a different translation, you've got the word love. The word here is, of course, you know what it is. It's love. It's agape love. It's God's definition of love. This is what Christian love is to look like. It's the standard. It's the norm. It's the pattern for each of us as believers. Agape love. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. Although we're only going to talk about the first seven verses. As I read, I'm going to read in the King James. I'm going to substitute the word charity, or if you have a different version, you've got the word love. I'm going to substitute the words agape love. That's what it is. That's the root word, agape. Keep in mind the definition. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not agape love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and I have not agape love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not agape love, it profiteth me nothing. Agape love is suffereth long, and is kind. Agape love envieth not. Agape love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Agape love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall see even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, agape love, these three. But the greatest of these is agape love. May God bless the reading of His Word. I'd like to first look at the first three verses of that text. And let me read to you from the J.B. Phillips paraphrase on those first three verses. His paraphrase goes, if I speak with the eloquence of men and of angels, but have no love, I become no more than a blaring brass or a crashing cymbal. If I have the gift of foretelling the future and hold in my mind not only all human knowledge, but the very secrets of God, and if I also had that absolute faith which can move mountains, but have no love, I amount to nothing at all if I dispose of all that I possess, yes, even give my own body to be burned, but have no love, I achieve precisely nothing. Wow. It's quite stunning, is it not, when you read it? Kind of three areas he points out here. He says, I could have this eloquent speaking capability. Matter of fact, I could even learn all the languages, every human language there is to learn, and heavenly languages, for that matter. If my gifts were so vast in that capability, in that capacity, knowing every language, I could go anywhere and speak in any dialect. Wow. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be, people would just be so amazed at you. Not in God's definition. He says, you might as well come up and just bring a bunch of pots and pans and bang them up here. In his eyes. He then goes on, if I have the gift of foretelling the future and hold in my mind not only all human knowledge, but the very secrets of God. What if my knowledge was so vast I even knew what God was thinking? I could answer every question. Man, would I have great Bible studies, wouldn't I? Just bring the questions. What if I had the absolute faith which can move mountains? My faith is so great I could say, mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it's done. Wow, it'd be impressive, wouldn't it? That Bible class would be great. That sermon would be great with such knowledge. But have no love, I amount to nothing at all. What if I dispose all that I possess? Yes, even I give my own body to be burned. So I give away everything I have. Sell everything, give it all to the poor. Or I'm going to be like a John Huss and I'm going to be burned at the stake to show my faith. But if I have no love, if I do not have agape love, I achieve precisely nothing. So, review. In the first three verses. Without agape sacrificial love, what do I accomplish? Nothing. What am I in God's view? Nothing. What do I gain? Nada. Nilch. Zilch. Zero. Without this love, we're nothing. It's that important. God doesn't value it. It does not make a difference in the lives of others. There's one thing that is necessary, and there's nothing that can make up for its lack. Did you catch that? There's one thing that is necessary, and there's nothing that can make up for its lack, according to this scripture. How important that is. I hope it strikes a chord in your mind as it does my mind, the importance of this, the imperative of agape love. You know, we consider ourselves, and I think it's true, that we are a loving congregation. And this letter is written to a church that is very divisive, and they've got problems. And you may think, well, why are you preaching on something? We aren't divisive. Well, isn't it better to have a sermon like this when we're not divisive? But if we're honest with ourselves, there are areas where we aren't showing agape love to each other. We've got room for improvement. And keep that mirror in front of you, because I'm talking about myself. And don't look around the room. You can go to Revelation chapter 2. We won't go there now, but there was a church in Ephesus called Ephesus. They had great things going for them. They were sound in doctrine. They were busy, a very busy church. What was their problem? They didn't have agape love. So it's always good to go back to 1 Corinthians 13. It's not a cozy chapter by any stretch. Oh, it may look good when it's on the plaque, but it's a challenging chapter if we're really looking in the mirror. So when I look at the next section, is there's 15 specific points in verses 4 through 7 I'll look at. And keep the mirror in front of you, as I'll try to myself. I'm going to read it in the NIV one more time, verses 4 through 7, because some of the King James words maybe aren't so clear. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. There's 15 of them here. I put them on this sheet. I've sorted them in what love does, love is, and love doesn't, or love is, and love doesn't, love is not, and love does not, let me say. So I got the negative in the first 8, and I've got the positive, if you will, in the second 7. There's 15 of them. Someone once said, love is a diamond, beautiful diamond. And these are the 15 facets of that diamond, each of them brilliant, each of them necessary to make up a brilliant diamond. So we're not going to have the time to spend on each of these in a lot of detail. So let's just go down through these. Again, as we're going through these, get that mirror up in front of you. How am I doing? Are there areas in my life where I can improve, where I need to confess, where I and my agape love fall short? Let's look at the first negative one. Agape love does not envy. It is not jealous. That's looking at someone else's possessions, saying, I want that, or I like that. Here's a question for each of you with that mirror in front of you. Can you honestly say, when you think of others perhaps around you here, that you rejoice with others' successes? If someone is successful other than you, do you honestly rejoice? Or is there some envy in there? That's the test. Our reaction. Check our reaction when there's news of success to others, people other than ourselves. Number 2, agape love. It does not boast. It does not brag. The I'm better than you syndrome. Oh, we do that on the basketball court, don't we? How's that mirror? Is a mirror tilted a little bit and you're looking at your neighbor right now? You know, you can look in a mirror, but you can look at somebody else. Keep the mirror perpendicular to your face so you're looking at yourself. Are you only happy when you're in the spotlight? How about in a conversation? Are you only happy when you're the center of that conversation piece? Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Agape love does not boast, does not brag, does not elevate oneself. Number 3, agape love is not proud, is not arrogant, similar to number 2. Put myself above you. It's when we compare one another. Think about it. Is there anyone in here that you think you are not better than them? That they are below you in this room? Now, some of you may say, well, they are. I am better than them. And maybe you won't verbally say it. But pride is a problem with all of us. We think we're better than others because of gifts, because of whatever, and we elevate ourselves. We know that every gift comes from God. Every gift that we have, all our possessions, everything we, all of our talents, our gifts come from Him, and He can take them away for a minute. Number 4, agape love is not rude. Is not rude. Rude is inappropriate ways of saying something or inappropriate conduct. It's the opposite of being gracious. It's the opposite of tenderness. People that they lack tact. They lack graciousness in their conversations. Love is not rude. Agape love is not rude. Number five, agape love is not self-seeking. This is just summarizing the first four in number five, in my opinion. It just, the whole theme is what? The whole theme in the first five is me. The theme is me. It's all about me, number one. I'm who matters. And we all struggle with I'm who matters. The concept of me first does not fit anywhere in the concept of agape love, nowhere. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others equal to yourselves. Just checking to see if anybody knows that verse and paying attention. That's not what it says. I see Brother Dave smiling. That verse says, rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Above yourselves, we're to value others. I heard a good definition this week of the word humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourselves. Another putting yourself down, I'm lousy on this. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. Think about yourself less. And value others above yourself. Number five was agape love is not self-seeking. The me problem. It's about me. Number six, agape love is not easily angered, is not easily irritated with people. We justify our outlashes and our emotions on other people. Well, they pushed my button, and we justify it. And it's not justifiable. It's a problem with our agape love when we burst out in anger. 1 Peter 2:23, talking about Jesus, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Agape love is not easily angered. Number seven, agape love keeps no record of wrongs. Oh, we're good at this. We're good at remembering the things we should forget and forgetting the things we should remember. We remember all the wrongs done to us. That's in the forefront of our hard drive. Agape love does not store up the record of wrongs received that he did it to me, she did that to me years ago. This was done to me, and they never said they're sorry. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Do not harbor record of wrongs. You'll become a hostage to those records. What did Christ do to my record of wrongs? He nailed them to his cross. Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, he's cast away my sin. Bible says, blessed is the man to whom iniquity is not imputed. God's forgiven us. He's not keeping a record of our wrongs, yet we as humans, me, with that mirror in front of me, I keep a record. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Number eight, agape love does not delight in evil. Real love confronts when there is sin. Agape love does not delight in evil. Well, maybe you say, well, I'm clean of this one. I don't delight in evil. Check the mirror out. Gossip violates this one. Gossip violates this one. Gossip is when we delight in the shortcomings of others, because we're better than they are. Look at what this person's doing. And we get on the phone and we gossip about others' shortcoming. We delight in the evil. The Let's be careful with that one, with gossip. Sometimes it can even be in the name of a prayer request. I have a prayer request, and we use a prayer request as a way to propagate gossip. So let's look at the seven facets in this diamond of what agape love is. King James says, love suffereth long. What does that mean? Love is patient. Agape love is patient. Means there's a, and that means that's specifically meaning with people. Can be also circumstances, but people primarily. Primarily people. Having a very long fuse with people. Extreme patience with people. Extreme slow to anger. Do not retaliate or seek vengeance. You know, usually our fuse is much longer with strangers than with our own family members. Agape love says there's a very long fuse. Number 10, agape love is kind. It's giving. It's serving. It actively seeks a way to extend kindness. We can think of people in our lives that are kind of the epitome of kindness. I was thinking of my uncle Dan Jovichin. He passed away last summer, and I remember visiting him in the hospital and nurses poking him and pricking him and all kinds of things, and the graciousness, his kindness that he, even in his pain, giving to the nurses, being kind to them, no matter what their nationality or background was, coming into that hospital room, kindness. I can think of others. Carol, I think of your dad, a kind man. Kindness, agape love, is kind. How are we with our kindness towards others? Ephesians 2:7 says, that in the ages to come he might show, that's Jesus, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Romans 2:4 says, it is his kindness, his goodness, Jesus' goodness that leads us to repentance. His kindness is what leads us to repentance towards salvation. Let's dispense more grace. Let's dispense more kindness towards one another. Number 11, agape love rejoices in truth. When truth is exalted, you're glad when truth prevails. 2 John 1:6 says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandment. Agape love is that we walk after his commandment. Remember, Jesus says, thy word is truth. We love to walk in truth. Number 12, agape love always protects. Always protects. This word literally means a roof. Literally means a roof, a cover. To cover with silence, to endure patiently, to forbear, to suffer. We know the verse, love covers a multitude of sins. That doesn't mean we sweep them under the rug. It just means we don't beat up the person continually. Love is about restoration. You know, we talk and we counsel Matthew 18 that you know, if someone offends you, you go to them. The whole purpose, the whole idea is to reconcile, to restore, to cover, to protect. That's what love does. Love wants to reconcile. Love wants to restore. Agape love wants to. Agape love doesn't want to continue to beat down someone. Number 13, agape love always trusts, always wants to give you their confidence, always eager to believe the best. You know, we're always had that suspicion, that cynicism, that, you know, question somebody's motives. Agape love thinks the best. Think of Job's friends. Remember Job? All the troubles, all the problems he had, and he had his friends come to him. They even sat silent with him for 7 days, and they didn't show agape love. They said, Job, these problems are because you're such a sinner. Confess, Job, that this is the reason. And they didn't believe him. They didn't trust him. Let me ask this. Am I critical of someone doing a task? There may be someone that is doing their very best, and we elevate ourselves and we criticize them for doing that task instead of giving them our confidence. We knock out their knees of confidence because we're critical of how they're doing a job instead of the agape love which gives them confidence, gives them our trust. Let's risk more mercy. You know, when someone calls here, we pick up the phone. The first thing is, here we go. You know, someone wants a handout. Let's risk more mercy. Let's err on the side of agape love versus being cynical. Agape love, number 14, always hopes. Agape love is always looking forward, not backward. Agape love is always giving people the benefit of the doubt. They're hopeful in people. Failure is never final when agape love exists. And just like the father of the prodigal son, he's hopeful. He's not giving up that his son is coming back. He didn't throw in the towel on his son. He's hopeful. Agape love is hopeful because we know who's in charge. We know who's sovereign. Finally, number 15, agape love always perseveres. Under the load, agape love always perseveres. They're willing to carry the weight, to bear the load. I'm going to bear this for my brother. I'm going to carry the load. I see my brother, my sister, they're struggling. I'm going to bear the load for them. I'll persevere when they can't. I like how J.B. Phillips summarizes these last three. Listen to this. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. Love can outlast anything. In fact, it's the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. Maybe you're quite glad that I'm through that list, because if you really had a mirror looking at yourself, it may not have been so cozy. Like I said, it probably wasn't comfortable because there's areas that each of us need to work on, myself especially. And perhaps that list is overwhelming, 15 things, and 14 out of 15 are, I got problems. Don't be overwhelmed. Let me challenge you and encourage you. Work on one this week. There's an area that I'm sure you can work on this week. Think collectively, if each of us were to work on one area with diligence, praying to our Heavenly Father, I'm going to work on this, Lord. I struggle. I get angry. My fuse is short. Help me. And I'm going to work on that. Think collectively, each of us, if we were to work on this, how much better our relationships would be with our families, how much better our relationships would be with our coworkers, how much better our relationship would be as us, as a family, how much better our impact would be, our impact with our families, our church, our impact with the program here, with those who we come in contact with. Because if we don't have agape love, it doesn't matter. There's nothing. It's zero. It's useless. It's pointless. It's just loud, clanging noise. It's just a bunch of noise. It's a bunch of energy that doesn't matter. So it's imperative that each of us work on this. I like what Paul says, and he's writing to the church in 1 Thessalonians. And this, I think, is applicable. We talked about coming up is a business, or the annual meeting coming up, and there's lots of positions that are being filled and lots of people who have volunteered and signed up, and we're grateful for that. Sometimes we do things out of compulsion, you know, I better do that. And that's not always bad. But how much better is it to do it in things in love? Listen to what Paul writes to the church in Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith." Listen to this. "Your labor prompted by love." Agape love. Your labor prompted by love. I love that phrase. Prompted by love. Prompted by agape love. Not out of compulsion, I need to do this, or feeling guilty, but prompted by agape love. God's given us gifts and talents, as enumerated in the previous chapter, to each of you. Let's do them prompted by love. That should be our motive, because that's the name and character of our Heavenly Father. His name is agape love. It's one of his names. That's his character. It's why he does things, because his name is love. Let me conclude with Romans 12, verse 9. Love, it's agape love. Love must be sincere. Love, our agape love, must be sincere. I was reading something unrelated to this past week, and I read the etymology on the word sincere. I thought it was kind of interesting. Coincidental, maybe? Sincere. Well, we know the word, what it means, genuine, real, let our love be real. I thought I'd share with you where the word came from. Sincere. Their origin is Latin. Sin, if you've ever been traveling and you've been to maybe a Latin country, sin means without. If you go to a restaurant and you want water with your dinner, the default will be water with gas or carbonated gas. I don't like it. And so you order agua sin gas, or water without gas. Sin means without. Sincere means without sear. Or what sear means? Sear is wax. Sincere means without wax. Where'd that come from? Well, in the old days when they would make pots, and especially the beautiful pottery, of course they put them in the oven to fire them. And if they came out and they would have a crack, if they would have a crack, you've got a few choices of what to do with that vase. Pitch it, because it's no good, it's got a crack. Or you fill it with wax, and then you paint it over so no one can see that you filled that crack with wax. Sincere was a vase without cracks. If you held the vase up to the sunlight in the right light, you could see that vase was filled with wax. It wasn't sincere. As we look at agape love in the light of God's word, let's not have wax in our love. Let's let it be sincere. Let's make sure it's sincere. You know, I don't have the handout, but the fruit of the Spirit, the first one, is love. That's the source of agape love, the fruit of the Spirit. It's from the Spirit. Challenge each of us to be sincere in our love. And God bless these few words.